Good. All right, open your Bibles, if you will, to Romans. Romans chapter 2, and as many of you know, we're in the book of Romans. We'll probably be in the book of Romans for the next 18 years. Some of you are going to raise your children on the book of Romans. Amen. So we're in the book of Romans chapter 2, and we're going to be starting in verse 25. As we look at this, I have titled this one, False Security. And by the way, this is the last sermon in false securities. But it's false security in ceremony. You know, so many people, right, they have ceremonies. And I'm not going to pick on any religion because that's not what I'm trying to do. And I'm not trying to offend anyone. And so, you know, there are some. And by the way, I'm also not going to be politically correct. I'm just, man, I can't. How many are tired of political correctness? Thank you, Jesus, right? I am so tired of dancing around the truth to try and speak the truth. Why don't we just speak the truth and we don't have to dance? By the way, I can't dance. I have the rhythm of this podium right there. I cannot dance. So we're just going to do what we call plain speak. And so what happens is we have many, many churches or we'll call it religions that believe in ceremonies for salvation. For example, there's churches out there that believe that you have to be baptized and you're not saved until you are baptized. And once you're baptized, you're in. Well, let me just tell you, if there's anybody here that has gotten baptized and you think that a baptism is your salvation, it is not. We can go through the Bible and clearly point out that baptism does not save you. Baptism gets you wet. And it's just a symbol. It's just according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, it is our public confession, if you will. You know, it says that we have to confess with our mouth. We have to let people know publicly. Well, baptism is a public confession of you making a decision for Jesus Christ. And so if you say, well, I was baptized as an infant or I was sprinkled as an infant, it holds no water, no pun intended. Actually, there was, but it doesn't work, guys. It's salvation through Jesus Christ alone. Well, you know, then you have some who are good works. And you say, well, you know, we got to earn it. We got to work it. And if you don't do good and you don't stay good and you don't keep doing good, you lose your salvation. Well, that's crazy, right? Well, it's really not crazy because the truth is they're accurate in a sense that you lose your salvation. Well, okay, so you can't lose what you never had. Amen. And so if you keep working and working and working, let me say this out loud, it's very appreciated. But you get very tired, you get burnt out because there's no completion, there's no joy. It's like, okay, I've done this work and now I got to keep working to keep my salvation. And you get wore out because there's just nothing there but work. And so we see that the ceremony of work just doesn't get it. The ceremony of baptism doesn't get it. Well, then there's the ceremony of finances, right? You got to keep giving. Listen, if you don't give to the church, then you lose your salvation. Well, interesting. What they're saying is salvation can be bought. Well, salvation can't be bought. Amen. It's a free gift. That's what Jesus says. It's a free gift. It cannot be bought. And so as we unfold all these ceremonies that can happen, by the way, though, if you feel the need to give, you just go ahead and keep on giving. Amen. We don't want to slow that process down. We went to, and you're asked what does this have to do with giving. You'll see here in a minute. We went yesterday to pick up the kids from camp. And we were on our way back from camp, and we're in the far left-hand lane because that's just where we belong. Because everybody else in the other two lanes don't know how to drive, and we were just kind of getting around them. Amen. And so we're driving, and all of a sudden, some of you are like, "Amen." You know I'm telling the truth. And then those that don't know how to drive that get in your way in the left-hand lane is proof positive that they don't know how to drive. How many just sort of like want to tap them like you're in on the circuit, right? Yeah, I want to be able to throw something in their window, even if it has to break their window, to say, the left lane is not for slow people. Move over. Okay, how many want to do that? Amen. I'm there. I'm with you. Right? Okay. Listen, if you want to hang out doing 45 in a 65, hang out. Just ride the berm. Don't get over the shoulder. Don't get in a lane. Amen. Don't get in my lane. That's really what I mean. And so at any rate, we're coming back from camp, and man, everybody's having fun. The kids are having fun, and my wife is leading them into all kinds of craziness, and they're answering and talking, and I'm just driving, you know. And then all of a sudden, it's like thunder on a beautiful sunny day. Well, you know there's something wrong when you hear thunder on a beautiful sunny day. So then the thunder reached down and touched us. I'm driving and you hear it's getting real loud. I know I'm not giving noise, but then the whole van started shaking, and the right rear tire blew out. And right? That's what everybody else said. Wow. And the only thing I could go was, hold on, everybody. Somebody say amen. I warned my passengers. And so we managed. And the interesting thing is that all those slow people, they got much slower and all got out of my way and gave me free rein to move to the far right-hand side off to the road. And it's amazing what flying rubber will do with people. They have a tendency to back up, amen? And so praise Jesus, man, and it literally all this happened within seconds. So apparently what happened is somebody put on our bus, and I didn't realize it. You know, I checked the tread, I checked the tire pressure before we left, but what I didn't check was the small print on it, which is very tiny, by the way, that says 2-ply rating. Well, this bus is supposed to have 10-ply rating. Hello, right? That's what we did. So now I've got to go down and purchase brand new tires for the whole bus, because we are not going to put our kids on 2-ply tires when it calls for 10-ply. Amen. And so that's $1,000. So anybody wants to give, amen, just mark on their bus tires and we're praising Jesus, right? All right. So you guys were wondering what to do with money. I had to bring it around. And had nothing to do with my sermon, by the way. I just thought we would add it in, the ceremony of finances. And so we talked about trusting in finances, but there are some religious places that say you have to give money. I was reading an article, by the way, this is shameful of the church. I'm just going to say it out loud. This is very shameful of the church. They sent a lady a bill for $1,000. And added to the bill, it said, because you haven't been tithing, we went back and we estimated this is what your tithe should have been. You owe us $1,000. And I thought to myself, first off, guys, you're never going to get that $1,000. And second, it went public, right? Because everybody runs to the news media and the social media. And so now it's all over the news. And the only thing you did was make the church look like all they want is your money. That's not what we want. I could care less. If you don't give $1,000 for the bus, God will. I was just sharing, being funny. But I think, how sad is it that people put finance, they label, you know, churches, all they want is your money. People don't want to come to church because all church wants is your money. But that's not true. And so what we see is these ceremonies that they have of baptism or of works or of finances, whatever it is that they do, and that after a while people just get wore out. Well, Paul here is confronting another ceremony, and it's called circumcision. And so as Paul unfolds Romans chapter 2, verse 25 through 29, that's where we are going to be. We're going to see a false ceremony in circumcision. You're going to see what I'm talking about as baptism, as money, works, whatever it is. You're going to see that none of that matters. Paul makes it very clear here in the in this false security of ceremony. Look here in verse 25. He says, "For circumcision is indeed profitable." And then you notice what he says. What does he say? If, right? Listen, circumcision is indeed profitable if. See, what we have to understand is that the Jews were set aside. There was no question they were set aside. They're God's chosen people. And here's what God did. God gave circumcision as a mark of his covenant with Abraham. It was just a symbol. It was a symbol of cleanliness, right? This cutting of the organ that we all know what it is, and so this cutting of that, he's saying, listen, that is just a symbol. It's kind of like, because man is sinful and man has issues, and he needs his heart circumcised. And so Paul says, hey, listen, look here in 25. Obviously, you're not going to read it on the screen for a while, but let's look here at 25. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So what we see here is, listen, the circumcision is not the issue. The circumcision is not what saves you. And so the Jews said, hey, listen, you know what? We're circumcised, and so therefore, and it's a covenant. And what's a covenant? It's a promise. So you know what? The circumcision is a promise from Abraham. We got eternal life. We don't have to do anything. And I just want you to know that's false. That's not true, because circumcision falls under works. Amen? And this is not works. We're not talking about works. Paul says your circumcision, if you're not being godly, you're no different than if you were uncircumcised. As a matter of fact, it becomes uncircumcision. And circumcision was instituted here in Genesis, in Genesis 17, 10 through 12. And again, you're not going to be able to see it, but I'm going to show you where it was instituted. Remember, I said it was a covenant of Abraham. And so it says, this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. This is God talking to Abraham. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. So we see circumcision is a sign. It is not salvation. It is a sign between man and God. And so he says here, he who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. And so he's saying, listen, anybody that comes into your house should be circumcised. Well, listen, can Gentiles be circumcised? Yeah, what's he talking about? Salvation. Anybody who surrenders their heart and becomes a child of God is as if they were circumcised. Well, this is kind of deflating the Jews, because the Jews said, wait a minute, we're special. If you remember in the Old Testament, through all kinds of issues, and even in the book of Acts, if you go back to the book of Acts, they were saying, oh, hey, Gentile, if you want salvation, you got to become a Jew. And they said, well, what do we got to do to become a Jew? Well, you got to get circumcised. Okay. Kind of deflates you just a little bit. Okay, well, ladies, you may not understand that, but for men, we're a little distressed by that. And so he says, hey, you got to be circumcised. And they're going, man, okay, whatever it takes, I want to be of God. Now think about the heart or the attitude, right? They're like, hey, I just want to be of God. And so if circumcision gets me where I need to be, then I will be circumcised. Well, if you take the book of Acts and you jump all the way to chapter 15, they have this meeting in the Jerusalem church, and Paul and Peter kind of go head to head a little bit. And Paul says, listen, you know what? I've seen God do amazing things to the Gentile, and none of this has to do with circumcision. It's all of the heart. And then Peter says, well, you know, I have to admit, God spoke to me and he said, whatever I cleansed is clean and it's okay and it's good. And so all of a sudden, Paul has to admit that circumcision, because Paul was a little bit of a hypocrite in the book of Acts. Amen. Anybody? Like, he was hanging out with the Gentiles until the Jews came along. And when the Jews came along, they were like, oh, I can't hang out here no more. What do people think of me? And he left the Jews, and Paul said, you know what? And he called him out in front of everybody. He goes, you're a hypocrite, and we're not going to do that. And then the whole argument is, excuse me, can the Gentile be saved without circumcision? And they come to the conclusion, yes. Why? Why? Because listen to me this morning, you don't have to do works. There is nothing that you can do. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that it is a gift of God, not of works, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, lest anybody should boast. Because if we could earn it, if we could buy it, if we could do anything to obtain it, here's what we would do. Look what I did. I am the man. Right? Right? How many? Yeah, you guys understand what I'm saying? And Paul says, God took all that away and he made this a free gift. So if you are hanging on to your salvation because of something you have done, because of a ceremony that happened, I know that another church does confirmation. And salvation is through the church. And if you leave the church, you lost your salvation. Well, that's crazy. The church didn't save me. The church doesn't do anything for me. It's Jesus Christ who died on the cross. It's Jesus Christ who gave up his blood, who shed his blood and gave up his life. It's Jesus Christ who said, through me and me only can you get to heaven. And without me, you cannot see my Father. And so we have to understand it's nothing that we've done, nothing we can do. There are no religious ceremonies that we got to go through. It's a simple thing that I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe Jesus Christ conquered death and hell. I believe Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, because I believe, salvation is mine. See, nothing we did, nothing we had to give, no way to earn it. It was simply by faith. Now, some of the people that I've talked to, and they go, hey, you know what? Man, I was baptized as a child. An infant? Yeah. Well, what did you have to do with that? Nothing. Nothing. Well, you know what? I was baptized as a teenager. Great. What did it involve? Well, the church just told me that if I got baptized and I became part of the church, because I was after baptism, I'm a member of the church, then I'm saved. Well, what about Jesus? And then I've literally gotten this response before. You ready? I'll say, well, what about Jesus? And they'll go, well, what about him? Was he a part of this? What do you mean? And then I have the heartbreaking news to tell them, you're not saved. When you die, you're going to go to hell. No. I was baptized. I'm sorry, but according to the Bible, I don't say what I believe, because they don't care what I believe. According to the Bible, Jesus says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven except through him. And so you got to take all these ceremonies, and you have to. Now, this is hard, guys. I'm going to tell you, because as we see here in a moment with the Jews, they struggled with this. But you got to take all these ceremonies that you've ever done for salvation, and you have to throw them out the window. And that's hard for some people because they do this. And believe me, I've had these conversations with people. You mean to tell me everything that I was taught, growing up, the church that I was in, my parents, you mean to tell me we're not going to heaven? That you're going to tell me that we're all going to hell? And I said, well, I don't know about your parents. I don't know. Here's what I'm going to tell you, and then you tell me where you're going. The Bible says salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. Not works, not baptism, not money, not anything that you can do. It's a free gift. Have you repented of your sin? Have you believed on Jesus Christ? No. The Bible says only those who believe on Jesus Christ can go to heaven. Those who don't, well, you know our conversation. And man, they broke down right there. Broke down, and I thought, praise God, they're going to get saved because they heard truth. And when you hear truth, I'm telling you, it grabs the heart and it convicts you. And I went, praise God, they're going to get saved. And then you know what happened? She looked at me and she said, I can't be a part of this church. I can't give up everything that I was taught my whole life. And she left the church and I've not seen her since. And that's been about 5 years ago. I'm going to tell you, it is only through Jesus Christ is our salvation. There's no other way. There is no other way. Amen? So that's what Paul's establishing here. Let's look on. I'm supposed to use my notes, but man, I'm really terrible at that lately. Amen? I don't have to keep up so that they can keep up with the verses because there's no computer, no video. Amen. All right, so let's look here in 26. Therefore, what do you mean therefore? Because of what I just said here in verse 25. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? See, Paul's establishing, listen, it's not about works. It's not about the act of being circumcised. It's about keeping the law of God. It's about being godly. It's about being holy. It's about being righteous. It's not about I was circumcised or I was baptized or I gave or I did. It's not about any of that. It's all about Jesus Christ. And he's saying, listen, if they keep the word of God, that's just as good as circumcision, even if they're uncircumcised. And so, guys, I just want you to know that if you have your hopes in what you've done, if you have your hopes in what you've given, if you have your hopes that you were a part of a church, if you have your hopes in anything other than Jesus Christ, you have no hope. Don't put your whole life in a ceremony. You put your whole life in one event. And that event was the day that you repented of your sin and you gave your life to Christ. You allowed Jesus to be the Lord of Lords in your life, the King of Kings. Circumcision, he says, listen, is only of value. Circumcision is only of value if you practice the law. But if you're a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. It's meaningless. It means nothing. Circumcision is just a mark of judgment. It was a constant reminder to the Jews of their sinfulness. Look here, just pay attention, just listen. In Galatians 5:3, he says, "And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." So Paul says, okay, you're trusting in what you've done. You're trusting in your ceremony. You're trusting in this circumcision. Well, then listen, if you're going to have that and you're going to be circumcised and that's what you're trusting in, then you are a debtor to the entire law. In other words, you have to keep all 10 commandments and you can't break them. You're like, ooh, that's harsh, isn't it? But that's what he says. You're a debtor. Let's look on. 27. He says, and will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, look at this, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? Listen, even the Gentile who's not circumcised, will he not judge you, the Jew who is circumcised? Now, he's not saying that because only God judges, amen? He's not saying that the Gentile is going to stand before the Jew and judge him. But what he's saying is if the Gentile who is circumcised is setting the example, living it out, being the righteous person, being the godly person, is he not judging you in the sense of lifestyle? So when you look at the Gentile who's living right, it automatically brings conviction upon the Jew because he's not. And that's what he means by judging. In other words, he's saying the Gentile, oh, this is harsh. And this is, listen, for the Jews, this is like reaching out and just slapping them across the face. Here's what Paul's saying. The uncircumcised Gentile that lives righteous is better than you if you don't and you're circumcised. Don't you hate if somebody come up to you and go, well, that person's better than you because they're doing such and such. And you go, who, don't you judge me? Who knows? You're not better than me. And Paul's going, yeah, they are, spiritually speaking, because they're doing what's right and you're doing what's ungodly and what's wrong. And therefore, you're going to be held accountable to it. Let's look here. And by the way, guys, you go, what's this have to do with me? Well, because I'm talking about Jews and Gentiles. I'm talking about righteous living. Don't get caught up in the word circumcision. Get caught up in the word, are you living righteous and holy for Jesus Christ? That's what you need to get caught up. Or are you the hypocrite? Are you depending upon a ceremony that you have done, something that you have done, something you have said, or whatever, that you say, well, this gets me into heaven. If it's shy of Jesus Christ being your Savior, I'm just going to tell you there's no ceremony under the sun that's going to get you into heaven. And so don't get caught up in words or actions. Understand what we're really talking about. Righteous living. Let's look here in 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. So what he's saying is, and this is going to be, okay, I'm going to try to explain this. What happens is, it's God's children, right? Amen, that go to heaven. It's God's children, those who have received Christ. And what Paul's saying is, listen, when you have surrendered your life and you have given your heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've made him your Lord and Savior, in the spiritual sense, if you will, you became a Jew, meaning that you became a part of God's family, right? Amen? And what he's talking about is you are now under the sonship of Abraham. So you've been adopted into the family, right? The Jews are the line from, from Abraham. And so since the Jews are a line from Abraham, they are part of God's family, God's chosen, not God's chosen because of the line of Abraham. And then when the Gentile comes in under grace, it's as if you became a Jew. In other words, you are now in the family of God. You are adopted. You have the same rights and the privileges that the Jew has with God. And so that's what it means. It doesn't mean that you went from a Gentile to a Jew. It just means that now you're a child of God. And so you have all these privileges as if you were a Jew. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Amen. Praise Jesus. Let's move on. Okay. So then he says here, and by the way, if you notice, Paul's making very clear, it doesn't have to do with the outward. Salvation and everything involved have to do with the heart. So many people say, well, Pastor, I don't get it. I don't understand. So many people say, well, you know, I've done this and I've done that. And then you try to explain, and they can't get out of the mode of me and I and what I can do or what I've done. They can't get out of the mode of the ceremony. Listen, I fulfilled this, and the church told me I had to do that, and I did that, and I had to be baptized, and I got baptized. And listen, it's very difficult for some people to take themselves out of, okay, hold on to this. Are you ready? Somebody say, I'm ready.
Ready.
Take yourself out of religion. Okay, are you hearing me? Take yourself out of religion and put yourself as a person before God who's going to be held accountable whether you believe for the fact that you either believed on Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world or you did not. See, it has nothing to do with your actions and what you've done or with the ceremonies. It has everything to do with, did I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Did I believe in him, on him, with him? Have I received him as my Savior? That's it. Did I receive the free gift? That's what God's going to look at. He's not going to look at your works. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do good works, because James says, listen, through my good works, you're going to see I love God. So we don't throw good works out, right? And then Jesus says, listen, you know what? You're to tithe. And in Matthew, he says, don't forsake the tithe, but you need to do all these other things too, but don't forsake the tithe. So we see that just because we're saved, we don't forsake all these other things, but all these other things are just going to point to our salvation. It's not the works that does it. It's not the ceremonies that do it. It's that decision for Jesus Christ. And then everything you do is going to point to Jesus. And that's what Paul's trying to get across to them. He's like, listen, you're holding on to this circumcision thing. You're holding on to an act that you did. But I'm going to tell you, your heart is sinful. Your heart is ungodly. And just because you went through the ceremony on the eighth day, it means nothing if you're not living for God. It's worthless. Who cares? You're just like the uncircumcised. And so understand, guys, listen, it is all about, do I love Jesus? If I love Jesus, my life is going to show it. If my life doesn't show it, I'm going to say you don't love Jesus. Amen? Yeah, I know that wasn't real popular, right? But that's what he's talking about here. So let's finish up. Man, we're going to get out of here early. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Is it hot in here? Or is it me? I can't please everybody. All right, so he's a. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. All right, let's move on. So he says here in 29. Lord, forgive me. Amen. All right. He says here, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. In other words, your heart has been pierced for God, not your body, but your heart. And so he says this, is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, because they had the whole law of God in the Old Testament, amen. And he said, it's not in that, it's the fact that you took the whole letter, you took the whole word of God, and you applied it to your life, and you live it out. That's what it is. It's not the circumcision of the flesh, but it's that you took the whole letter of the law, but and it's not because you go, oh, well, this is given to us and nobody else, but it's because you lived it out. Christian, I'm telling you today, you need to start living it out. You need to start being, you need to start showing that you are the chosen, the elect, the children of God. If you're not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, listen, there's nothing expected of you. And I don't mean that in a degrading way, but the Bible says that you are spiritually dead. You can't do anything for God. You can't do it right. You can't, listen, why? Because you don't know him. And so you're not expected to believe it. But for the believer, he says your heart needs to be pierced. It needs to be circumcised. And you need to live like God's called you to live. And if you're not living like God's called you to live, you are either deep in sin or you're not saved. It's one or the other. So he says here, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. God sees it. God praises man. God lifts man up. Man doesn't lift himself up. And so many of us, man, we're caught up in what we do, how much we make, what we drive, where we live. Amen? Amen. We're caught up in, I mean, we're caught up in the materialism of the world. We're looking for praise from men. Look what I did. Look where I went. Look how I dress. Look what I wear. Look what I drive. Look what I live in. Woo-hoo! And we spend all this time trying to impress people we don't like, to impress people we don't know, to impress people we're probably never going to see again. Wow, what a waste of energy, amen? And what we need to be doing is seeking praise from God, because God's going to look at our circumcised heart, and it's going to live for him, and it's going to love him, and it's going to act according to his word and his ways, not our desires. And I get so sick of people, and I'm telling you, Christians too, this is my little soapbox, so just give me a moment. I am so sick of the Christian supporting the things of the world, verbally and publicly. And then there's like, well, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. Are you judging me? Yes. You have no right. No, that's not true. I do have a right. What I don't have a right to do is judge you with speculation, but I have a right to judge you based on the facts that you have presented before me. Amen? Right, right? Look at their fruit. Amen? Listen, we gotta judge them by their fruit. And if you have no fruit, I can freely, clearly say that you are not of God, or you're not acting of God, or you're not living of God. And you go, well, I don't like that. Well, take that up with God. I'm going to tell you, the only flag that we need to be flying is the American flag. The only stand that we need to be taking is the biblical stand. We defend the word of God. We don't defend sinners that are breaking the word of God. So when people go, well, I love Jesus, but if you're defending and standing with the sinner and actually going against the word of God, then you've had a ceremony moment, not a circumcision of the heart moment with God. You went through a ceremony of religion. And so you have a great case of religion. But do you realize that everybody in the world is religious? Do you know that? Everybody in the world, including the atheist, they're religious. Do you know what the religion of the atheist is? Nothing. But it's still their religion. They believe in nothing. Everybody, by definition, is religious. But grab hold of this, guys. There are only two religions in the world. Two. And you go, that's not true. There's 41,359 religions. Well, no. There's two. How many say, Pastor, you're wrong? Wow, I got a group of smart people. Not one of them went against me. I know nobody even looked around to see who was going to put their hand up, because everybody already knew, like, we ain't stupid. We're going to keep it down. Listen, let me tell you why there's two religions. Are you ready? Are you ready? There's two religions in the world. One, Christianity. Two, humanism. That's it. Listen, that is it. Because people go, well, you mean this religion's not going to go to heaven? Or these people listen, you mean to tell me that the Muslims, all of them are going to die and go to hell because they don't believe in Jesus? I'm here to tell you, anybody that doesn't believe in Jesus is going to die and go to hell. See, it's not about your religion, it's about your relationship. And so we have all these religions, all these ceremonies, all these processes. And I'm going to tell you, there are some Jewish people that used to teach that Abraham sat at the gate of hell. And anytime a Jewish person came to the gate of hell, Abraham wouldn't let them in. That's what they would teach. And so if you're a circumcised Jew, Abraham will stand at the gate of hell and not allow you to go through it. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Literally. And so when we look at these ceremonies and these false beliefs and these false ideologies and all the falseness that goes with it, it's because anything that does not line up with this is humanism. And anything that's humanism is wrong. Anything that's Christian from the Word of God, not from a so-called Christian's mouth saying they're Christian, but they back it up through the Word of God, the letter, if you will, that's the only true God, the only true way to heaven. Anything contrary to this? Humanism. I don't care what label you give it, it's humanism. And so when I say there's only two religions in the world, it's either man's way, who goes through ceremonies, or God's way, where there's a circumcision of the heart, and it breaks and surrenders to Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what Paul's saying here. That literally, I know you're thinking, I could have said that in the first 3 minutes and sent you home, right? Then I wouldn't have felt like I did my job, so we had to stretch it out. But that's what Paul's going on with. That's what's going on with Paul here. That's his message. If you believe in anything other than Jesus Christ, you're holding on to humanism, period. Done. It's the circumcision of the heart. So, let me ask you today. If you're here and you do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're holding on to humanism. If you're here today and you say, well, hey, you know what? Man, I was baptized as an infant and I am not letting it go. You're holding on to humanism. You're holding on to ceremony. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to heaven. And you go, I don't like that. Well, I'd rather you not like me for telling you the truth than to not like me because I lied to you. You say, well, how do I fix it? There's but one way. Have every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Here's what I want you to do. I just want you to check your heart. Have I believed that I'm going to heaven for any other reason than Jesus Christ is my Savior? If you have another answer besides Jesus Christ is your Savior, then you have no hope. You're not going to heaven. And you say, well, how do I fix that? Well, number one, you have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. You have to believe that Jesus Christ rose on the third day, and you have to believe that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. If you say, well, I believe that, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray this prayer. Now understand, the prayer, the words don't save you. It is the circumcision of the heart. It is your heart is repentant, your heart is broken, and your heart is ready to receive Christ as your Savior. You're not going to do this just because it's another religious thing to do. You're going to do this because you really believe those three things about Jesus. And then you pray this prayer, dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize I've done wrong. I realize that I have not pleased you with every decision I've ever made. And so right now, I ask for forgiveness. I repent of all the wrong I've ever done. And today, I surrender my life to you. Jesus, today my heart is circumcised. No ceremonies. Today I trust you and I surrender to you. Today we begin a new relationship.